Hello everyone, and welcome to Chemistry is Everywhere, a show where I will talk about chemistry in our daily lives and in the world around us. This episode is about atoms and molecules, and how these tiny particles determine the properties of all matter that is around us. We all learned in elementary school that the atom is the basic building block of matter. You are made of atoms, I'm made of atoms. The house we're living, the air we breathe, our food, everything is made of atoms. And there are different kinds of atoms. There's hydrogen, there's carbon, there's oxygen. And these atoms are called elements. All different elements are arranged in the periodic table by atomic number and by chemical properties. In a future episode, we will discuss the periodic table in detail and also the origin of the elements and their relative abundance. Most matter around us does not exist as single atoms, but as molecules that are made of more than one atom or more than one type of atom. Some examples. Oxygen exists as O2, as a molecule made of two oxygen atoms. And nitrogen exists as N2, that's a molecule made of two nitrogen atoms. Water, H2O, is formed of two hydrogens and one oxygen atom. There are exceptions. Some matter exists of single atoms, and you're familiar with at least one of them. Carbon can exist as single atoms in more than one form. Graphite, which is used in pencils and lubricants, consists of single carbon atoms in a hexagonal structure. And diamond also consists of single carbon atoms, but then in what is called a diamond cubic structure. In a future episode, we will discuss carbon and all the forms and all the properties and characteristics. Molecules are formed by chemical bonds between the atoms that hold them together. And there are three main types of chemical bonds. First of all, covalent bonds, in which the atoms share the electrons equally. Then there are ionic bonds, in which one atom donates its electron to another atom and thereby gets a positive charge, and the receiving atom gets a negative charge. That's, for example, how sodium chloride is formed in sea salt. And then there's polar bonds, and that is like an in-between form of bonds. The electrons are not shared equally, but they're also not donated. And when molecules have polar bonds and they have different types of atoms, there's a difference in electronegativity. So the electrons share more time around the most electronegative element. Intermolecular forces determine product properties such as melting point, vapor pressure, and solubility. There are two kinds of intermolecular forces, both electrostatic in nature, van der Waals forces and dipole interactions. Van der Waals forces hold molecules of non-polar compounds together, such as petroleum products, hydrocarbons. Imagine the average distribution of charge in a non-polar molecule as being symmetrical, so there's no net dipole moment. But electrons do move about, so at any time the distribution will be distorted and a small dipole will exist. This dipole will affect the electron distribution in the second molecule, and the negative end of that dipole repels electrons and the positive end attracts electrons. So the dipole induces an oppositely oriented dipole in a neighboring molecule. These dipoles are constantly changing, but the net result will be attraction between the two molecules. Van der Waals forces have a very short range. They act only between surfaces of molecules that are in close contact. And this explains why hydrocarbons have low melting points and boiling points compared to other products. Dipole interaction is the attraction of the positive end of a polar molecule to the negative end of a neighboring molecule. In water, this is the positive hydrogen that attracts the negative oxygen of another molecule. And because of dipole-dipole interaction, polar molecules are held to each other stronger than non-polar molecules of comparable size, and this means they have higher melting points and boiling points. Also, solubility is determined by intermolecular forces. You all know that oil and water do not mix, but let's look at the theory behind it. When a product dissolves, its molecules become separated from each other, and the space in between becomes occupied by solvent molecules, in this example by water. The energy required to overcome the intermolecular forces is supplied by the new bonds that are formed between the product and the solvent. So the old attractive forces are replaced by new ones. Now, what are these bonds that are formed? Solubility is determined mainly by polarity. Nonpolar compounds dissolve in nonpolar solvents, and highly polar compounds dissolve in highly polar solvents. And you might remember the saying from elementary school, likes dissolves likes. And that's a very useful approach. Methane dissolves in perchloroethylene because the forces that hold methane molecules together and perchloroethylene molecules together, which are van der Waals forces, they are replaced by very similar forces holding methane molecules to perchloroethylene molecules. Neither of these products are soluble in water. The high polar water molecules are held together by very strong dipole interactions, and there could be only very weak forces between water molecules and methane or perchloroethylene. In contrast, highly polar compounds such as methanol or ethanol are soluble in water. The bonds between the water and methanol molecules can be readily replaced by similar bonds between water and methanol. Most organic compounds are bigger than methanol or methane and contain both nonpolar and polar parts, and this is reflected in their solubility behavior. Let's look at the series of alcohols. Each alcohol contains a hydroxy group, an oxygen and a hydrogen, and to that extent is like water. And also each of them contains a hydrocarbon chain. And in that extent, they're like methane. The lower alcohols, methanol, ethanol, and propanol, they are soluble in water in all proportions, as the hydroxy group forms a large part of the molecule. But when the number of carbons increases, with butanol 4 carbons, pentanol 5 carbons, the solubility decreases. And if a molecule is big enough, the polar and the nonpolar part display each their individual solubility behavior. The polar parts dissolve in water, and the nonpolar parts dissolve in a nonpolar solvent, or if there is none, they cluster together, which means they dissolve in each other. In this episode, we looked at atoms and molecules and how different chemical bonds determine product properties. In the next episode, we will discuss different types of chemical reactions and the reactivity of various individual elements. This was Chemistry is Everywhere. Hope you enjoyed it and look forward to have you on the next episode. If you liked it, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. See you next time.